Well, good morning. If you haven't met me yet, my name is John Soyka, one of the pastors here. So welcome to those of you here for the first, second or third time. And I'm feeling rather weary, rather burdened. I've just got over COVID and now I've got all these terrible things hanging off me this morning. So if you were to go down the street of Albany and you were to put before a group of average Aussies this invitation, come to me, all you who are weary and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. What sort of responses do you think that you would possibly get? Well, for some people, they would see it as an opportunity to maybe get a good night's sleep because they got a newborn baby, as some do at the moment. Maybe they got sick children. Maybe they got a spouse that snores, or they're a shift worker. For others, it would be the promise of a nice long holiday, maybe not a cruise, at least not yet, but maybe going to a desert island in a hammock between two swaying palm trees, cool drink in hand, gentle breeze and a good book. For many people, though, it would be rest from the burden of sickness, disability, a failing body as we get older, or it would be relief from grief, the loss of a loved one, maybe a broken relationship. For others, it would be freedom from the uncertainty of financial struggles, especially as the prices are rising. Have you put petrol in your car lately, or diesel? Fuel prices going up. Interest rates going up, especially if you've got a mortgage or a loan. For many people, it would be relief just from the burden of living in this world. Injustice, rejection, abuse, or just turning on the TV and the constant bad news of disasters and crime and wars that are going on in Ukraine and other places. As life is full of all sorts of different burdens, people will look to different ways to try and relieve that burden. For some, they turn to an escape in alcohol and drugs, cigarettes, food, sport, hobbies, travel and entertainment, sex, even immersing themselves in doing good things like charity work. And today's sermon, which I've entitled The Greatest Invitation Ever Made, we're going to see that Jesus offers us something special from a burden which is even more burdensome than the ones I've mentioned, and that is the burden of sin. He gives us a rest that only he can give, and we can only receive if we come to him. We're going to see how we can accept that wonderful offer as we look at our passage. So let's pray and ask for God's help. Father, as we open up your word today, we thank you for it. We thank you for this beautiful verse. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And for many of us here, Lord, we already know what that means, but I pray that it will come through to us in a new, fresh way. And I pray for those who don't know what it means, that they will experience it in reality. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So would you open your Bible with me through to chapter 11, if you're not already there, or your Bible app. A little bit of background. Jesus had just preached to a group of people that really didn't want to hear. And Jesus actually turned around and said, if the miracles done in those places, in other places were done, it would be more bearable for those at the judgment. And so despite all the convincing proof of miracles, these people were hard-hearted. And in verse 25, Jesus pointed out that the truth is clear even to children, because children have a simple childlike trust, don't they? They will accept God's revelation, compared to those who are wise, well-educated and very learned. That doesn't mean to say if you're wise and quite qualified that you can't be saved, but Jesus was having a go at the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, people who were so proud, self-righteous, people who knew it all, wise in their own eyes, and they had totally closed their hearts to Jesus. They didn't want anything to do with him. So in verse 26 to 27 of our passage, we have this amazing truth that nobody can become a believer. You cannot come to faith in Christ unless God takes the initiative and works by his Spirit. And Jesus said, unless he chooses to reveal himself or reveal the Father to them. And this complements what we read back in John 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And so we now come to this great invitation. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, Jesus was fully aware of all the burdens that we go through in the human condition. And he really cares about all the burdens that I've already mentioned. But the greatest burden this verse is referring to is the burden of sin. And so could you imagine if you had a computer that worked and behaved itself, and you had a printer with lots and lots of ink and an endless supply of paper from a stationery shop, could you imagine if every single one of your sins that you have committed so far in your life could be printed out in great detail? What sort of a list would it be? When it comes to sin, the word actually means to miss the mark, like shooting an arrow, missing a target. And the reality is that all of us miss the mark. We fall short of God's perfect holy standards. And it involves every single way that we have broken God's law. And when we break God's law, we break his heart. It involves thoughts, words and deeds, secret sins, hidden wrong motives, bad attitudes, and it involves sins of omission. In other words, the things we should have said, the things we should have done, and we didn't do. And as this list is finally printed, I'm sure that we would be overwhelmed. It would make for very depressing reading for us, and we would probably be shocked by some of the sins that we've forgotten about. Maybe some of the sins that we've not even dealt with and worked through. And we'd be ashamed. And the very last thing that we would want is for somebody else to have access to those reams of sin. But what if we included the sin of every person who's ever lived and is living now? And then we added the sin that we're yet to commit, and the sin of those who are yet to be born, and the sins that they will commit. Could you imagine how much ink, how much paper, how much storage would be needed to keep the records of all of those sins? It would be mind-boggling. And the scarier thought is, what if God decided to put it on some great big TV screen for everyone to see? Or your sins were posted on YouTube in an endless loop for all of us to look at? When we think of it this way, the weight of sin is absolutely crushing. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the sinless Lamb of God, he was still able to know all those sins and to take them upon himself at the cross. The Bible clearly teaches that what he did on the cross was sufficient to pay for the price for every sin that has, is, and will ever be committed. And yet, to receive eternal life, we still need to make a response. It doesn't automatically apply until we acknowledge our sin, we repent and receive Jesus as our Saviour. So back in that passage, coming back to this invitation, Jesus said, come to me all you are weary and burdened, or as some translations have it, those who are heavily laden. And these words would have been so refreshing to the average person at that time. The average Jew would be so refreshed by these words when you think of what their teachers were teaching. You see, they believed salvation and acceptance with God was all about striving. It was all about doing everything you possibly could do to try and make yourself acceptable to God. And on top of the Ten Commandments, they came up with all sorts of other rules and regulations that had to be obeyed and followed if you had any chance of eternal life. And so this number from 10 commandments actually went up to 613 commands based upon their own interpretations of the Old Testament. And the problem was these traditions took on a life of their own. They became equal with the scriptures. And in fact, the average person back then, they couldn't keep track of 613 laws and what they actually meant, let alone obey them. Especially as the rabbis would argue with each other which laws should be in the 613 and which shouldn't be in there. And so because of this, Jesus reserved some of his greatest rebukes, his most stinging rebukes against the Pharisees and teachers of the law. They followed and invented rules of men, traditions, and made them to the equivalent of scripture. In Luke 11:46, Jesus said, "You experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift a finger to help them." See, the problem with trying to do your best to please God is it will never be enough. We are doomed from the start because we are born with an earthly sin nature that causes us to sin. Sin comes naturally. You don't have to teach your kids to sin. Try going a whole day without sinning. It's impossible. And so trying to save yourself is futile. Many years ago, a friend of mine who wrote quite a lot of songs, and I played a lot of them with him, who sadly is not walking with the Lord now at all, wrote some amazing words. And he wrote a song called "The Barbed Wire Canoe." Imagine that, a canoe made out of barbed wire. And he said, trying to save yourself is like rowing from one shore to the other in a barbed wire canoe, which sounds really stupid, doesn't it? And yet that's how stupid it is when we think that we can please God as we are. In James 2 verse 10, we're told, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So we have all sinned, we've all fallen short. And when it comes to the law, you know, the purpose of the law was not try your best and see if you'll get through. The whole purpose was to show us how miserable and sinful we are. A desperate need of a saviour, Jesus Christ. And so let's be clear, when Jesus gave this invitation, he was speaking of the burden of our sin. He's referring to the burden of the penalty and power of our sin. He was referring to that terrible guilt, the shame, the condemnation that naturally comes along. So why have I got my hanging out my dirty laundry here? I've got my best fishing shirt here, seen better days. Well, the Bible says very clearly in Isaiah 64 verse 6 that our righteousness, in other words, the best we can produce before God, is like filthy rags. Filthy, smelly rags. I don't smell, it's been washed, but you should smell it after a fishing trip. The incredibly good news is that we can make a rag trade. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins and mine so that we could have the old rags of our own righteousness taken off, and as symbolised by my nice clean shirt, we can be clothed in his righteous standing. And so the rest that we need is not a good night's sleep, is not a holiday, it's not a debt being cancelled, it's not all the struggles of life being removed. The greatest debt we need to have dealt with is our sin. We need the rest of salvation. Now, a lot of you have probably read through Pilgrim's Progress. You know the story, John Bunyan. And a Christian who is in Pilgrim's Progress, well, he was doing pretty much what I was doing, carrying this heavy load of sin. It was crushing to him until the day he came to the foot of the cross. And all those heavy sins, which are causing my arm to go numb, were laid at the cross. All of those sins were taken off, and he was free. He was made right with God. And so, fully aware of our inability to make ourselves right with God, Jesus came. He fulfilled the law perfectly on our behalf, because he was sinless. And after that, he became the perfect sacrifice to take the punishment that was rightfully ours on the cross. He paid a ransom to God so that we could be set free. If we believe, we can be set free from the slavery to sin. And so those who humbly acknowledge that they are lost, that they need to be saved from this burden, are justified before God. And that's not self-justification. What it means is that because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can be in right standing. We can be declared to be right with God. And so while we may be like this, it's no longer the case. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness, made whiter than snow. Paul was speaking to a group of people in Antioch, Pisidian Antioch. And in Acts 13, verse 39, he said this to them, Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. And so you can try your best to follow the Ten Commandments and you'll never succeed. And if you fail just one time, you're a sinner. And of course, we are born sinners and we practice sin, don't we? And the liberating truth is that God's grace actually delivers us from that burden of expectation associated with trying to live up to standards that we could never possibly hope to live up to at all. When we trust in Jesus, he gives us a fresh new start, a new standing, a new freedom, a new hope, and a new peace. And there's a really great illustration of this, which I heard from Craig Sullivan, who used to be a pastor here. And this illustration is a brilliant one, and it's basically to show us what our standing is like. So could you imagine if you had a job and you had to have a certain qualification to do that job? You can't work. Maybe a bachelor's degree or a PhD or something like that. I don't know how much they cost these days. But could you imagine having to do that course and qualify, and someone turns around and says to you, actually, the tens of thousands of dollars for the fees, they're already paid. And your course starts on Monday, and then you suddenly get notification. Good news, you've passed the course. What? This course takes 3 years. Actually, it takes 5 years. If I want to be a doctor. No, you've already passed. You're a straight A student. So knowing that you've already made the grade totally changes the way you're going to approach your study, wouldn't it? You've already passed. You've already got there. The weight of expectation has been removed from you. You have a new status and a new standing. And that is what we are like as Christians. In Colossians 1 verse 12, we're told that through Jesus, a heavenly Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. And the word saint means holy one. We are holy because of Christ. We are all saints, as Christians, the Bible says, is because of him. And so when it comes to this invitation, take careful note what Jesus said. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so Jesus wasn't saying, look, I'm one of the options. There's lots of others, but I'm a good option. Believe in me and you can get saved. No, Jesus was saying he is exclusively the only saviour because he's fully God, fully human to represent us and yet was without sin. In John 14 verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter in Acts 4 verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And then Paul in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, he says, there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for many people. And so because Jesus is the only way to God, we need to hear the gospel message, but that's not enough. We need to personally respond to it. And so in Romans 10 verse 9, we're told that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. And so going back to this invitation is only for those who are weary and burdened or heavily laden. And John MacArthur, who's a Christian pastor and author, I love the way he explains this in his commentary on Matthew. Let me read it out to you. He says, the person who is weary and heavily laden despairs of their own ability to please God. They come to the end of their own resources and turn to Christ. Desperation is a part of salvation because the person does not come to Christ if they still have confidence in themselves. To repent is to make a 180-degree turnaround from the burden of the old life to the restfulness of the new. And so that's what this invitation is all about. And as Jesus continues the invitation, look at verse 29 to 30. This is how we accept it. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, at first glance, this seems almost like a contradiction, because a yoke is that wooden thing that you put on ox or horses or other animals. It actually was a very powerful symbol of slavery, a symbol of oppression. So what is Jesus getting at here? Well, first of all, he's getting the attention of his listeners, and he turns it around to show what it means to be a true disciple. And the difference in submitting to Christ is that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. He is a good master. He is a person who has a pleasant yoke for us because he loves us so much. And secure in this knowledge, we can serve God in a new way, out of a freedom, not out of bondage. Not in the same way of people who think that if I try my best, maybe I might get through, maybe God might save me. Maybe not. It's got to be all by grace. Now, when it comes to being saved, it's by grace through faith, and we stay saved as a result of God's grace in his family. And I don't know about you, but in my early Christian days, when I first became a Christian, I believed, yes, I have to be saved by grace. It's not by works. But as a young Christian, there was this thing within me where I felt I needed to keep performing. I needed to share my faith, go to church regularly, do all those things to stay saved. Because if I didn't, I might lose my salvation. And it took a little while for me to get that idea out of my head. And you know, this sort of thinking can actually stem from a variety of sources. And one of them can be because we've had a parent or parents or authority figures that we've always tried to please and we've never been able to do it. And so there's this performance striving. And for me, the solution was I had to get back to what the Bible said, despite the feelings that I wasn't worthy enough. I had to go back to the promises in Scripture rather than the voices in my head. And one of those beautiful promises is in John 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. What a beautiful promise. God is never going to drive us away as his children. He can discipline us, but he'll never kick us out of the family. Now, we are called to live a holy life. We are called to serve God. But the difference is, as a Christian, we do it not out of duty, not out of bondage and obligation, but out of joy and gratitude, because we've already made the grade. We are already a child of God, safe and secure in the palm of his hand. MacArthur puts it this way in his commentary. He says, Christ will never oppress us or burden us with a load too heavy to carry. His yoke has got nothing to do with the demands of law or much less human tradition or works. The Christian's work of obedience to Christ is joyful and it's happy. In 1 John 5 verse 3 we read, this is the love of God, and we keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Submission to Jesus brings the greatest liberation a person can experience. In fact, the only liberation they can experience. Only through Christ can we be free to be what God created us to be. Amen, John MacArthur. One of the other things the yoke symbolises is partnership. And this comes from the idea where two oxen are yoked together. And even today in farming communities, the younger, less experienced animal is often yoked with an older one so that the older one knows what it's doing and it bears most of the burden. And that is a beautiful picture of discipleship. When we come to faith in Jesus, he's the one who bears our burdens as we come to faith in him. And of course, the word disciple, it means follower, it means learner, but probably the best illustration, it means apprentice. An apprentice of Christ. And an apprentice wants to be like their teacher in every way, and that should be our heart as well. And so as we consider all of this, the ultimate irony in Scripture is true freedom can only come when we become a slave. True freedom can only happen when we become a slave of Jesus Christ, because he's the one who's gentle and meek. And the word gentleness, it's not weakness, but it's power under control. Just like a horse, that's where the word comes from. A horse could crush you, but when it's tamed, you can ride it because it's gentle and it's meek. And so Jesus can crush us, but he is a gentle Saviour. Fully God, he came to earth, made himself nothing for you and me, took on the nature of a servant in human likeness, humbled himself to become obedient to death, even death on the cross for us. And so when you consider the gentleness, the goodness, the love, the meekness of our Saviour Jesus, our Master, who would not want to come under such a kind ruler and master in their life? So there's a really good illustration that shows what this is like. Maybe you might have heard it before, but I'm going to share it again. You may have heard the story about a woman who was in a totally loveless marriage. The husband was a tyrant. He was harsh. He was controlling. And he weighed her down with a load of rules and expectations. In fact, he wrote them out and he wrote a book about them. And he expected her to follow every one of the rules, have his breakfast on the table at a certain time, do the vacuuming, the washing, all the things that he expected. And she begrudgingly served him out of a cowering sense of fear and duty. Well, he eventually died. And she met somebody else. And he was different. And they got married. And instead of any rules and obligations and lists and stuff, her new husband loved her as she was. And he served her and demonstrated in so many beautiful ways. And so she in turn started to respond to him in love. And one day she was going through her secret papers and belongings, and she happened to find that book that her previous husband had written with all the rules, all the regulations, all the time frames. And she was absolutely shocked. She was totally surprised. She noticed that now she was willingly and joyfully doing all those things for her husband without thinking about it. In fact, she was doing so much more because she did them out of love, not out of bondage. And that's the difference for us with Christ. He's a gentle master. In Romans 7 verse 6, we're told, "But now, by dying to what once bound us, we've been released from the law so that we can serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code." Praise the Lord for that. Now, Jesus said his yoke is easy. He said his burden is light, but that doesn't mean to say that our life is going to be cruisy and easy. In fact, he said that if we are following him, our life will be more difficult. People will inevitably reject us and hate us and persecute us because they hated him. But just as Peter once said, "Lord, who else has the words of eternal life?" when a number of disciples or would-be disciples stopped following him, in the same way, what other Saviour do we have to turn to who is so loving and kind? And so we keep following Jesus, knowing that the blessings, the rewards in this life, but particularly the life to come, far outweigh any of those costs. Now, I didn't want to finish this morning without saying something about all of those other burdens that we all bear. And they're very real, and God cares about each one of them. And when you consider the lengths that God went to by sending heaven's best, Jesus, to die for your sins and mine, if he met the greatest need of the burden of our sin, how much more will he meet all of our earthly needs? And so when it comes to all the things that we need, Philippians 4 verse 19 says, "The one who will never leave us or forsake us," it says that he will meet all of our needs according to his riches in Christ's glory. And we're not talking about wants. Praise the Lord, he doesn't give us everything we want. We're talking about needs. And you know, Jesus walked the earth. He experienced those burdens that we go through in the human condition. And so as our great high priest, he invites us to come to him because he empathizes with our weakness. And so at any time of day or night, we can bring those burdens to Christ in prayer because he understands. And when we go through that worry, and we had some good sermons on worry and anxiety, when we go through that, Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then we are promised that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the word guard literally means to garrison. It's like a bunch of soldiers coming around to protect you. A little bit like Paul when he was arrested and all those soldiers protected him. And so no matter what circumstances we face, and they do change, God knows how much we can take. He knows our limits. And he will strengthen us to face them and achieve his purpose in growing us through them. One of my favourite Christian songs, which we had this morning, is "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And probably one of my favourite lines in the whole of every Christian song I've ever sung is there. And it's the words, "Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside." And as I sing this, it reminds me that I have hope and strength for now. And I have a great future in heaven with Christ for an eternity, in a glorified, resurrected body, when all of these burdens will be a very distant memory in the past. And so when we focus on this eternal perspective, it will help us to cope with the trials, the difficulties that we will encounter. And so the Lord is there to bear our daily burdens. And we have the Holy Spirit who permanently indwells us. He's our counsellor, he's our comforter and our guide. But we have one other resource, and it's a resource we don't always use. And this is my cue in a moment for our next prop. So the resource of the church. When you think about the church, God has created it so that we can share each other's burdens as brothers and sisters in Christ. And even if we don't feel like it, we need to learn to lean into the church rather than separate ourselves and have our own pity party. And when we do not do that, then we are robbing brothers and sisters in Christ of the ability to minister to us and to take the burden off our shoulders. That's what we're doing. Thank you, guys. Go easy. Oh, okay. So just think of it that way. If you're not letting the body of Christ minister to you, you're robbing them of the opportunity. Also, you're robbing yourself of the opportunity of having ministry to your life. And you are also robbing them and yourself of the opportunity for you to share your burdens with them. So I'm going to ask the band to come back to the front now. Thank you very much. And I want to ask you, have you come to that place in your life where you have come to Christ, you've come to the foot of the cross, acknowledged you're a sinner, and entrusted your life to him? Well, he invites you, even today, if you haven't done that, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest from the burden of your sin. And as a result of that, you can get rest from a lot of other burdens as well. Jesus is a loving, humble master. And so if you are not yet a Christian, we would love you to, maybe after the service, as we have lunch together, come and chat with me or someone else who's a Christian. If you are a Christian and you're still feeling weighed down with those burdens, we would love to pray with you today. And there's going to be plenty of time to do that later on. So do that with us. So we're going to sing. We're going to sing a song, "Jesus, What a Beautiful Name." And it is a beautiful song. And then after that, if you are a Christian, then you go to one of the four stations. We have our communion ready to be served for you. And please hold the bread and the grape juice and we will eat and drink together. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the invitation that Jesus gives us. And Lord, as we do that today, I just really do pray for anyone who's not yet come to the foot of the cross, anyone who's not yet accepted Christ as their Saviour, that you would speak to them. And Lord, for those of us who have, I do really pray that we would see this promise, Lord, as being a reality, that we are saved forever and we are secure in your family by grace. We've made the grade, we've passed the test, we've been qualified to share in the kingdom of light. And may that change the way we look at everything, including the burdens we face. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's